Lions and Vikings battle for first place in the NFC North. Can Detroit win this unbelievable division without Aiden Hutchinson?
It's going to be tough, but I think I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no because Minnesota, man, I really like what Minnesota is doing. I really think that their defense is, you know, going to apply a ton of pressure on whatever quarterback that they play. But they also know the history that Jared Goff does not like pressure and the confusion that it caused, you know, upon him when he's going through his progression. So
I saw a stat that he's better against the blitz than any quarterback in the NFL. Stats got to lie, man, because that's not what my eyes tell me when I watch him play.
Exactly. I don't believe that one bit. And, you know, I had an opportunity to game plan against him, you know, over my years when he was with the Rams and also my time in Minnesota. And it was pretty much just the same MO, you know, just put pressure in his face, make him get happy feet, get his eyes down.
Yep.
You're pretty much going to sack him. So I believe that the Brian Flores, who had a great one-liner in his press conference this week, is saying that he likes to fight fire with fire, basically referring to Ben Johnson as the offensive coordinator over in Detroit.
Man, so, he ran it up the board with some trick plays against Dallas, boy.
I Holy know. So,
that was so awesome.
And I don't think he's going to be running many trick plays against Minnesota. I can guarantee you that, because you don't want to have as an offense, you don't want to have many negative plays. So I almost guarantee that they may be one trick play, and I won't necessarily say it's going to be one of those plays where the ball is going all over the place. It's going to be maybe some offensive lineman or offset offensive line to where it's a crunch time situation, because that's how they got us for the most part each and every year. Being those division opponents, like, you're not going to be running trick plays out of the yin yang. We're just going to give you some different formations to make you think we're running trick plays, but we're just going to get back into a generic run play or a generic pass to the flat play. You know, so I can almost guarantee that there would not be many trick plays in this game for sure.
The defensive ends now for Detroit are guys that no one's ever heard of. They're second round picks from a couple years ago. Marcus Davenport's out there. He's injured, and so is Aiden Hutchinson. So, in my opinion, they got to do something. If they don't, then they could finish in third or fourth place in that division because it's that good. The obvious move is to go get Hassan Reddick from the Jets and just get him. You don't?
I like for them to go out to go get, because there's no guarantee that Hassan Reddick is going to come and play, right? You go trade him.
Well, you got to
get
the money done. You got to get the money done with him first.
That you got to for sure. I think the best move for them would be is to go out and get Za'Darius Smith. He's better on both ends of the in both games. He's a good run defender and he can apply pressure to the quarterback.
And he's bounced around teams before, so joining somebody midstream would not be a problem. See, the thing about – so that would be that's a solid guy, but Hutchinson is so great. Dude. Like, but there's replacing him.
Yeah, I get that. And like I was just about to add this as well, like great defensive ends, they're not falling off a tree. So you got to go get a solid guy.
Yeah. Fair point.
We're moving out to the West Coast. We got the LA Rams against the Las Vegas Raiders. This is I'm trying to figure out how should I ask you this question, because I don't think this should happen, but it's going to be curious to see how you think this should happen. Should the Rams punt on the season and get involved in the trade talks with Cooper Kupp?
No, they shouldn't.
Thank you.
But I want them to do it. The Steelers fan, because the Steelers fan in me needs a wide receiver here, and I need another team with Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams on new teams to trade a wide receiver to the team I root for.
What about Mike? You wouldn't bring Mike Williams in?
No, I would, but here's the thing: Mike Williams at 30 years old, coming off a torn ACL, a back injury before that. I think Mike is a fine receiver. I think Cooper Kupp is an elite wide receiver. I think he is an elite route runner. In a guy that gets open, short, and intermediate. And that's what we need. That's what the Steelers need. They need that guy.
I got another question for you then, because I had an opportunity to go against Cooper Kupp. And yes, he is a great route runner.
Well, you locked him down.
I mean, I have. He has some plays on me as well. But here's my thing about Cooper Kupp. Yes, he's a great route runner. He don't have the best speed. But it's a lot of rub routes. It's a lot of, you know, him motioning and not really having a guy in front of him. So, therefore, he's just playing to the open area. So, therefore, how can you guard that? And when you watch film and watch, you know, him get off on his touchdown, especially in the red zone, you know, he's coming out. He's in the slot. He's running a number. The X receiver's coming and picking the slot receiver. Now he's coming off of the pick route running a wheel route in order to get the touchdown on third down, on key third down moments. He's starting on one side, motioning over to the other side to see if the team is in man or zone. And now if they're in man, he's going to run away from the leverage. If they're in zone, he's going to run to a hole. You know, so don't get me wrong. He's a great receiver. But if you take him out of that system, will he still be the same Cooper Kupp?
Probably not. And you know what, though? I actually think you convinced me that my initial opinion was wrong. I'm them... Well, hold on, though, but here's why I actually think you just persuaded me to completely change my opinion. If so much of it is system dependent, he's in his 30s, he's making a lot of money. Why not trade him, get a high draft pick, and then go get someone who you think in the draft can do something like that? Mm. And you won't, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it frees up $30 million a year, too.
Yeah, because he's not like for me. When I look at guys who can, like, top receivers, I'm looking at guys who can beat one-on-one coverage. And not saying that Cooper can't do that. I just feel he can't do that on a consistent basis like a George Jefferson.
Well, Justin what Jefferson. Did you make – because Pickens went on FS1 this week, and George Pickens, mm-hmm. and said, you know, so much of it is about system for wide receiver, and goes, look at Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a slot merchant that just has a system that feeds him the ball. And I'm like, damn, like – you're calling out a guy that's been a top five receiver in terms of production the last two or three years with that. If I was Amon-Ra St. Brown and I found out, no offense to George, but if I found out a guy that put up like 500 receiving yards fewer than me and five touchdowns less than me every year, I'd be like, what the hell, dude? You're calling me out? So
I think what George was getting at is that all of these guys that we're seeing, you know, get put up these yards, that they're being utilized in their offense differently, which I said as well, that I feel like George, he's a guy that's always an X receiver. Like, there's no creativity when he's out there a receiver. 9 times out of 10, he's running a slant, a fade, or a hitch. Like, let's put him in the slot. Let's motion him out a little bit. And I don't know if that may be too much on his plate, or whatever the case may be, but that's how you get good receivers immersed in the game, because Justin Jefferson get double teamed almost every week. He still goes for 100 yards. A.J. Brown get double teamed 50% of the game. He still goes for 100 yards. So, but when you look at those guys, they're just not stagnant receivers lining up as an X or the Z. They're motioning. They're in a slot. You know, they're being moved around, being a real chess piece, to where now you have to really understand what he's doing when he's at the X, when he's at the slot, when he's at the Z, when he's motioning. With George right now, he's a three route pony. I mean, everybody knows that.
Eagles and Giants, should New York regret letting Saquon Barkley walk?
Yes, 100%, because they don't have any run game. He was the heart and soul of that team, you know, not even, let alone the offense of the team. And watching the Hard Knocks, the clips that they were showing, that's honestly just how the business is. But you can tell that he wanted to be there, and they just couldn't come to an agreement on the number that made both sides happy. You know, so he made the best decision for himself. But I definitely think it was the Giants dropped the ball on this, because now you just show that you have all the trust in the world in your quarterback, which we know you don't have the trust in, and you don't have no running game to allow your quarterback to be, emerge, as you're hoping him to be coming into this season. So it was just a bad move, in my opinion, losing one of their, faces of their franchises to an arch rivalry, so that's just something that shouldn't have never happened, in my opinion.
And it's not that expensive to keep running backs anymore. Yeah. I mean, really, it's been such a devalued position. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have seen him in this offense because the offensive line for the Giants has been a lot better this year than it has been the last couple for Barkley. Now, Andrew Thomas, their left tackle, just got knocked out with a Liz Frank injury, and that is a massive loss for them because he is one of the better linemen in the league. So we'll see how they rearrange the deck chairs there because that's not going to be a good situation to overcome. But, I mean, I would have loved to have seen Barkley and Neighbors in that offense together, and then you would have really found out once and for all if Daniel Jones can get it done or not. Because if you give him those two toys and he still isn't able with decent protection to win you games, well then, yeah, you're going to draft the quarterback in this draft. So I usually am a guy that says don't invest in running backs, but I think there was a way for the Giants to make it work with Saquon.
Yeah, I agree. Titans Bills. How much better did Amari Cooper make the Buffalo Bills?
Oh man, I think a lot. I love him. I mean, he's had more drops this year. I think he's got 9, which is I'm shaking my head at that because I usually think of him as a very sure-handed guy. But he runs great routes, footwork, doesn't say a peep, not one of these diva wide receivers who's going to, this is probably why Buffalo wanted him. Because, he'll have a game where he catches 15 balls and then the next week he'll catch 4. And you don't have to worry about him coming into the locker room after the game is over and being in a pissy mood, even though you won because he didn't have a big game. I think he's ready to win. He's bounced around teams, so that's nothing that's foreign to him. Raiders, Cowboys, Browns, now to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. So I think he fits the team. I think it's a personality fit. And I like Buffalo a lot more today than I did before the season started because of this move, Pat.
Yeah, I think it's a great move by Buffalo going out and getting a veteran receiver in Amari Cooper, who is an exceptionally great route runner, a guy who can, pretty much catch anything. This season, a pretty down year on his drops, but a pretty up year on his drops. But for the most part, he gives you an opportunity to not only improve your room, but he bring leadership and a valuable veteran that these young receivers can obviously have an opportunity to learn from each and every day. Like you said, these receivers now nowadays, if they're not getting the targets, they're not touching the football, they're complaining and going in the media, talking this, that, and other, although they want the game, but it's all about them. So maybe, Amari Cooper can, bring that same personality and help show these guys that, if one eat, we all eat, and it's all about wins at the end of the day. So I think this definitely improved their receiver room and also improved their offense because they definitely needed a receiver that can win consistently outside the numbers and also that can take the top off defenses.
Also, I just feel like the Cleveland situation was so rotten that getting him away from that will also get him to lift his game up. Like, I feel like that he's escaping Alcatraz, basically, by getting to Buffalo. Seahawks and Falcons. Atlanta goes for its first 4-game winning streak since before COVID. How far away from the Super Bowl discussion are they?
They're still pretty far. Because they're probably like let me see who all in the NFC. You got the Lions, Minnesota,
Green Bay.
They're probably like the fifth or sixth best team right now in the NFC.
Would you put them ahead of San Fran?
No.
Okay.
No, how about Tampa? No. So I put Tampa above them, I put 49ers above them, I put Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit. So that's the 7th best team in the NFC?
Yeah. That's a playoff team because only 7 teams make it.
They're still a while away.
They're not really the reason why I am intrigued by them is because I don't really think they're bad at anything.
No, they're not bad, but I just don't think I just feel like they have to apply better pressure on the quarterback if they want to win
games.
Yeah, that's
been a problem for them.
Yeah, they cannot generate any pressure on the quarterback right now. And all of those teams ahead of them, that's all they do.
Yeah.
So you can't put them in front of any of those teams when they can't even get to the quarterback. So,
you know,
I get what you're saying, that they are a good, they're a solid football team. But those teams that I named in front of them are way closer to the Super Bowl discussions than they are.
Well, like, here's one that might surprise you, okay? Like, just in terms of this discussion. If somebody said to me right now, who would you pick? If you had to pick one of these two teams to come out of the NFC for the Super Bowl, the Commanders or Falcons, I would say Atlanta.
Mm.
Even with the way Jaden Daniels has played. I take them over any team in that division, actually. I take them over Philly. I take them over Dallas right now, too.
Mm. I don't like them over Washington. Man, I'm not just saying that the way Jaden's playing. Coach Quinn's defense. I really like his attitude that he brings and the way just Jaden is playing right now. I think that's just a recipe for winning, and that they have been doing and competing at a high level week in and week out. I just feel like when you have a stationary quarterback, man, it's just hard to win now with stationary quarterbacks who can't move, especially, you know, late in the year when that weather started to change. You know what I mean? So I like Washington out of those two teams.